Today on Real Radio.
Internally, we have been designed to be creatures of worship. We worship. Every man worships something. And you can go to the most atheistic societies in the world. You can go to the most backward societies in the world, maybe the deepest, darkest jungles of South America, and you will find people worshiping a god or gods, animals, trees, totem poles, or carved images. Every culture of every age, man worships. Why is that true? Even atheists worship.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 8 which demonstrates the Messiah's divine powers. It's a study taken from Luke 8 and verses 40 through 56, where we are told of part of the healings performed by Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Three Reasons Why I Worship the Lord.
Luke chapter 8, in our study, it is entitled this morning, Three Reasons Why I Worship. And you might want to put your name in there then, or your personal application, Three Reasons Why You Worship the Lord. You say, well, Jack, you know what? What are these three reasons that's so important to you? I'm going to give you three reasons, and they're listed here in the scripture that's before us this morning. They may or not be your reasons, but I think maybe they will be if you are a believer in the Lord. And I want to challenge you right now this morning. I want you to be thinking about who in all this world and what in all this world is worthy of your attention. What is or who is worthy of your attention? Or for that matter, your devotion. Honestly, think for a moment. What in your life is worth you living for that is bigger than you are? Is it a thing? A person? What is it? Or who is it? You and I have been designed internally, and that's why so many times we struggle with life. Internally, we have been designed to be creatures of worship. We worship. Every man worships something. And you can go to the most atheistic societies in the world. You can go to the most backward societies in the world, maybe the deepest, darkest jungles of South America, and you will find people worshiping a god or gods, animals, trees, totem poles, or carved images. Every culture of every age, man worships. Why is that true? Even atheists worship. It may be a thing. It may be money. It may be power, but every man worships something. I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus Christ is worthy of your worship. And we're going to be looking at three individuals who were radically affected face-to-face by Jesus Christ as to why and how they turned from their life to worship him. And maybe it will be true in your life. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40, down to verse 56 this morning. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. This is a Jewish leader. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, who was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged Jesus. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those who were with them said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out of me." Or from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people, everybody, the reason why she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered and said to him, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she shall be made well." And when he came into his house, he permitted no one to go inside except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. What an amazing, awesome event here. It really involves up front three people. Certainly there are more. The disciples are there, the three of them anyway. Peter, James, and John, they're there. The mom and the dad are there. You've got the ruler of the synagogue. He's there in the crowd. His attendants obviously arrive and say, "Don't bother the master any longer. Your child's dead." There's a great throng, a huge crowd pressing against Jesus. I mean, this is a huge movement of people. And the truth of the matter is, the reason why that's the case is because, as we shall see here now, that what Jesus was doing caused a great, great bit of attention. Point number one, three reasons why we should worship as believers, why should we? Number one is this, church, jot it down if you would, that Jesus Christ is my reason for worship itself. Jesus is. And there's going to be people in this story that are going to come face to face with as to why they should change their worship direction. Why you should worship Christ. Verses 40 to 42 is our first reason. And it's Jesus. And here's why. It's a father in desperate need of help. And he realizes this in time. Number one, Jesus stands alone. He stands alone from all others of all human history. Note verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned, that is when he came from the great events of the calming of the storm, we saw that a couple of weeks ago, to the event of him dealing with that demonically possessed lunatic in the graveyard, we saw that last time when Jesus healed him completely. Now there's a great vast of people talking, and he's arrived at the shore, and they're all waiting. So they were gathered in this great, great bundle of people, realizing what? That Jesus alone is their hope, and he's their reason for worship. These people, no doubt, all of them collectively, is a represented slice of humanity. There were people hurting. There were people in need. There were people in financial need. There were people in emotional need. There were people that were diseased. And they all came, a huge crowd of people. And why did they come? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, that his fame, Jesus Christ and his fame, spread throughout all of the region of Syria. And they brought to him all manner of sick people, all who were afflicted, all who had diseases and torments. That is, they were emotionally racked with torment. And those who were demon-possessed, there were epileptics, it says, and those paralyzed, and he healed them. And a great multitude of people followed Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're a skeptic this morning, I want to lovingly hit you right between the eyes. If you get the Bible and you read it, and you not only read it, but you take the Bible and have it open and read all the other books of antiquity that speak about great religious founders. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are of ancient past. I don't care if they're somewhat recent. I don't care if they're today. You match what Jesus Christ did, what he said, and what the Bible said about him when he would come, and you match up any other person against Christ. And unless you have some sort of a weird, twisted bias, you will have to say, "I should worship Jesus also." Jesus Christ is unlike any other person in all of human history. The sad thing is, some people don't know that because they don't research enough to find out. Jesus Christ is the one and only, and people were learning that 2,000 years ago. The Old Testament wrote about him. the New Testament reveals him. But anybody who comes along and says, well, you ought to follow me. Oh my goodness, did you guys see the news? That guy, he's on CNN, Fox News, all the news channels. So I think right now he's in Mexico. His name is something something Miranda. Have you guys, he's Jesus. He said he's Jesus Christ. He's back. He returned. He said it's the second coming and he's the guy. And there's 200 pastors in Mexico that said, yep, we've checked him out. He's Jesus. And we know it's Jesus because he's flying Delta first class coming to Los Angeles. Of course Jesus would fly Delta, huh? Well, you know what? Why don't we just take his life and match him right up alongside Jesus Christ? There's nobody like him. He's a real person who lived in antiquity, who the Bible for thousands of years told you he was coming, told you exactly what he would say, exactly how he would die, all of the surrounding events of where he would be born, and what would be the aspects of his life. The Bible said, this is how you're going to identify him. And then he comes, fulfills those incredible 300 plus prophecies, and beyond that, so that you might know who he is, so that you might fall down and worship him. Jesus Christ is the reason why you should be a worshiper of the Lord. And I want to stress that. Don't you ever think for a moment that you got to go to some church or be, I can't worship Jesus unless I'm in the church. I had somebody tell me that one time in a foreign country. I can't worship Jesus unless I'm in the building. Boy, I'm so glad that's not true. Listen, can you breathe? Are you breathing? You can worship the Lord. But you might say, well, why should I worship him? That's a great question. You're going to see the reason why here in a moment. The second thing we see under this point is that the reason why we worship Jesus and why he's the reason is because he cares. Jesus Christ truly cares. You read the Bible, and you cannot come away with any other conclusion other than Jesus taught love, he cared, and you got to admit, it's a wonderful, wonderful story about what Jesus was all about. Well, he's more than a story. The Bible says that he's God manifested before mankind in human flesh. He showed us not only the way to the Father, but the very heart of the Father. Jesus truly cares. It says in verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue. That means he's Jewish and of high authority. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and he begged him to come to his house. Well, first of all, church, you guys have been going through this study in Luke. Have the Jewish leadership been nice to Jesus thus far? They've hated him. They were jealous. Jesus was drawing the crowds and raising the dead. I could kind of see their point. He was speaking what they had never heard before, and that he was telling people that God loved them and that without forgiveness of God, none of us are available to enter heaven, that God's the one who issues forgiveness if we ask him, but we are to come to God. We are to cry out to him. He's not going to turn you away. And he had been so warm and so caring. In fact, the Bible says the common people and sinners loved him. See, if you have pride, and that's the very thing that gets in the way of you worshiping Jesus. This guy was a religious leader, represented the Jewish leadership. He was a head of the local synagogue here in this region. And yet you see this man coming to Jesus. Why would this man blow off his legalism and come to Christ? Because he knew Jesus cared. When you know someone cares for you, you will hold them in high esteem. You'll thank God for them. And listen, let's be honest, you'll want to be near them. When you understand that people are gentle and compassionate and loving, when push comes to shove, that's the people you want to spend your time with at the end of the day. This man with all of the power and prestige and influence he had in the community, he's coming to Jesus. He's not only coming, he's falling down and he's begging Jesus to do something. This was, according to Judaism of the day, a treasonous act. And yet he's doing it. His heart, his actions are communicating clearly that he needs to get to Jesus as fast and as close as he can. These words falling down and begging, it's parakaleo in the Greek, and it means that he came alongside Jesus. Watch this. It's with an urgent violence. He comes to Jesus, going through the crowd and prostrates himself down, and he's crying out to Jesus. This guy has given up his robes. He's given up his ring. He's given up his glory, and he falls down, and he's desperate. Jesus, come to my house. My daughter is near death. Have you ever had a sick kid? Have you ever had a crisis in your life when you throw off all that stuff? When something is big enough, you blow off appearances. Now, you and I live in a very padded culture. Certainly, we have problems. But for some people, maybe in the audience here this morning, you've never been desperate before God. You haven't had to be desperate before God. Time comes in life when that moment hits us, and you don't care what you look like, you don't care what you're wearing. Look, have you ever been so sick that if, let's say the paramedics have to come to your house, you're that sick. Do you care what you're wearing? If you're that sick, you don't care if you're naked, you just want to feel better. You ever been in the hospital? All right, put this on. If you're not, and doctors know this, nurses know this, if you're not sick, you're going to go, I don't have to wear that. Oh, man. What's the front? When you're really sick, if it means help, put it on. Give it to me. It's so, so true. And here this man is absolutely in desperate need. And he's calling out. Jesus Christ, my friend, truly cares because he's God alone, says the Bible. And he cares. And you think about this. And I'm only going to give you a few titles of what's found in the Bible. Listen to this. Why can I be rest assured that Jesus cares for me? You might be a big corporate executive wheeling and dealing. There's going to come a time when you need the care and the love of Jesus. Maybe you're somebody that's down and out. Whoever you might be, Jesus cares. And listen to his qualifications. I'm only going to give you a few of them. Jesus Christ is, the Bible says, your creator. The Bible says he's your redeemer, your shepherd, your judge, your savior, your eternal God, the word, the hope of the world, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the friend of sinners. And everybody said, amen. You bet. I'm so glad for that one. That he's the Lord God, that he's the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who died and rose again from the dead. That's Jesus Christ, and I only gave you a fraction of his titles. That's the one I'm glad, and I'll gladly worship. The reason why I worship him is because he is qualified to receive my worship. I got to tell you, before I was a Christian, I loved things. I loved airplanes, and I loved cars. As I got older, I loved money. I had all these idols. I didn't have something carved out, you know, and I didn't have a little statue I'd buy down to, and whoa, I didn't have a totem pole in my backyard. No, I had a more sophisticated set of idols. As a little kid, I loved airplanes, and so I would hang around the airport all the time until I was able to fly on my own. And I loved cars, and I loved fast cars. And I don't need to talk any more about that part. I don't want to get into that. But then when you start making money, I was making too much money at 19 years of age, and it was legal. It was legal. But when you begin to get these things, listen, in your life, that can take the place of God. I began to look to these things as my sources. I don't care what that guy says. I've got this. I don't care what she says. I can do this. And I don't care about anybody because I've got this much money. Hey, the Bible says, watch out about money because it can sprout wings and fly away. And if you're not careful, the IRS will put a jet engine on it. And it will rocket away. The Bible says some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will trust in the Lord our God. And so he's worthy of my worship. He's the reason. And when I think about that, the Bible tells us over and over again that he is absolutely to be adored. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that there is salvation in no other name, says the Bible. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus. I wonder if Anna Nicole called out to Jesus. Every time I see someone where the news is there and you wonder. And I wondered, I told you before, we were praying moments before Saddam Hussein was hung to death. And we prayed, oh God, cause him to call out to you. See, Jack, are you sick? Are you insane? Do you understand how right it was for Saddam Hussein to die that way at the millions of people he abused and the hundreds of thousands of people he killed? I understand that. But do you understand that Jesus and the scriptures and God of the Old Testament and New says that he does not take delight in the death of the wicked? That Jesus Christ died for all men to be saved? And I was praying, oh Lord, cause Saddam to call out to you. Unfortunately, his last words are recorded forever to be heard. What about Anna Nicole? A messed up, abused, and horrible life. What do you see when you look at her? Some blonde bimbo? Don't you see a little girl who was probably messed up in life and some girl who grew up never getting real, true, godly love from anybody? She gave it away trying to find something back in return. What was her last words? We may never know. God loved Anna Nicole so much that he sent his only begotten son that if she would have believed in him, she would not have perished but had everlasting life. Amen. Maybe it's true for your life. Maybe you're not a Saddam Hussein or an Anna Nicole, but maybe you are saying today, I don't need Jesus. Oh my goodness. Don't say that too loud. Do you understand what you're saying? I'm not inviting you to know religion. I'm asking you to be introduced to God. You're like the little gingerbread man who ran away from his creator. You need to come back home, man. You think you got the little buttons right there on your own? God gave you those buttons. Think you got that funny, goofy smile? God gave you that. Running around chasing the cow, jumping over the fence and playing with the dog. God gave you the ability to do that. Acting all puffed up. God made you. You need to come home. And there's going to come a day when God's going to call the loan on life. And he's going to say, you know what? Time's up. Perfectly, Jesus knew perfectly what was going on. That's another reason why I worship him. Verse 42 says, for ye, this man had an only daughter. You need to mark that word, only daughter. How old was she? About the age of 12. And the word says here, she was dying. The word in Greek means her life is leaving her. Her life is leaving. She's losing life. She's so sick. You see that butt that's right there? That's a big, ugly, nasty word here. You know what it means? The girl is dying. The man is urgent. He's coming to Jesus. He's fallen on his face. And you know what's happening? There is a huge crowd just moving with inertia, the momentum. And it's as though seemingly on the surface, nobody cares. It almost looks like Jesus doesn't even care. It says, but as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Notice it's a capital H. The multitudes thronged Jesus. This man's thinking, I can't even get to Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Three Reasons Why I Worship the Lord. It's a look at Luke chapter 8 and verses 40 through 56. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Remember, we're still offering that mini-series also taken from the book of Luke called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? We've been offering it on DVD, and because we've received quite the response, we've made the decision to extend the offer. For your tax-deductible contribution to the continuing outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's DVD series, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? There's more than one way to get in touch. You can call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. It's a toll-free number. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
And inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.